There we go. All right, so I'm locked down to the pulpit. Have a hard time with that. That's okay. All right, so what I was saying, there it goes. All right, so what I was saying before, the Okinawa, 69 miles long, 11 miles wide, 100 plus thousand Americans, and of the 100 plus thousand Americans, 60,000 of them are military. Okay, I'm from Louisiana. I'm not real good at math, but this next number is going to get you. Okay, of the 60,000, 11,000 of them are stationed at Hanson and Schwab. Okay, and there's no Bible preaching church there, and that's right now. Within the next 3 years, that number is going to jump from 11,000 to 16,000 military at Hanson and Schwab with no Bible preaching church. Closest church, Maranatha, the one I was on staff at for the last almost two years, is on the expressway, an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes away one way. And we have a hard time getting the Christians to come to church down there, let alone the lost people, because of work schedules and just various other things. And a lot of the Marines that are on the island, if any Marines are here, can attest to the fact that most of the time they don't even have a car. If they do ride the Green Line, which is the transportation that's provided by the Marines, it takes 2.5 to 3 hours to get from there on the north end down to the closest camp to Maranatha, and then it's another 20-minute ride to Maranatha. That's why we're going. The gospel is needed. It's not needed. It's necessary. These people are fighting for, I don't have to explain it to you guys. It's a military church. I mean, a lot of military, right? So I don't have to explain it to you. You guys understand. I want to do this, Pastor, if I can, if it's okay. I'd like to give you a little bit of testimony about myself. I was born in Charleston, South Carolina. I was raised in Louisiana. I'm from Louisiana. Don't hold it against me, okay? The language, the English is not good. I'm still trying to learn that. And Japanese is going to come later. And then the humor is not good either. So hopefully the expectations aren't really, really high. Anyway, my parents were lost, okay? My parents have actually been here several times. My mom and dad, whenever they come up here, they come over here for church. They got saved when they were in Louisiana. Praise the Lord for people that go out and still knock doors. I don't understand why churches give that up. I don't know any other way that we're going to get the gospel out other than standing behind the pulpit and then going out and knocking doors and saying, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? But I'm not preaching yet. So here's the thing. People knocked on their door. And people that worked with my dad invited him to church. That's another imperative thing that Americans are losing, is the fact that they need to be a good witness at work. But anyway, so they got saved. And they started going to church. They found a good independent Baptist church in Zachary, Louisiana. And they started going to church there. And so they started raising us there. And then they did the unspeakable, and they put us in Christian school. And, you know, we had a great ACE school, and I had a graduating class of 3, and it was awesome. And I made a profession of faith when I was young, basically because everybody asked me all the time, are you saved? Because I didn't act like I was. And so I finally, you know, made the profession of faith and started changing my outward appearance and my actions to stop people from asking me the questions, because it was just easier that way. And then when I graduated high school, I went down the recruiter's office. I sat on the bench outside the recruiter's office in the mall, and the Air Force recruiter was here and the Marine recruiter was there, and I waited because they weren't open yet. And the Air Force recruiter came in. He was on time, and the Marine recruiter was 5 minutes late. So I tell everybody I was 5 minutes from being a Marine, because I was going to join the Marines, but he was late. I said, well, I don't want to be a Marine then. So I joined the Air Force. And my whole goal was to leave the house. I'd love to say it was, you know, something patriotic, although I love my country. I wanted to serve my country. That's why I was there. But I wanted to leave the house. So I did. I joined the military and I ran. And I ran from God, and I ran from mom and dad, and I ran from everything that I was being taught. And ran fast and hard. So the military said, we can help you with that. And they sent me to boot camp. And they sent me from there over to Keesler Air Force Base in Mississippi. And while I was at Keesler, then they trained me on what I was supposed to do. And they said, right before I graduated, they said, you're not going to graduate until you get your final assignment as to where you're going to spend your first 4 years of your enlistment. But you're being diverted, and we're not going to tell you where. We don't know yet. I said, that's not fair, because I was supposed to go to Eglin Air Force Base in Florida, which is beautiful and green and lots of water. And for a guy from Louisiana, it's perfect. And then they said, no. And I said, why? And they said, because. And so the day I graduated was a Friday, and they said, you're going to go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. I said, really? All I knew about Albuquerque, New Mexico is Bugs Bunny said he should have took a left at Albuquerque, and I didn't want to go there. There's no water. There's no green. There's nothing in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I went to Albuquerque because the military said, you're going to Albuquerque. I met my wife in Albuquerque, New Mexico. God had a plan. Even though I was running from him, he still had a plan. I think it's awesome how God does that, you know. But by the grace of God, I am that I am. See, he works things out that we can't imagine. And so I met my wife, and we were friends. And I knew that we couldn't get married unless she was saved, because that was important. So I asked her that question. I said, are you saved? And she looked at me really funny. And she said, what do you mean? I said, are you saved? She said, I have no idea what that means. I said, have you ever asked Christ to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins? She said, oh yeah, I've done that. I was like relieved. I said, okay, then we can get married. She said, what? I said, will you marry me? And she's like, wait, we're going from friends to engaged? And so that's the way that happened. And then we ended up getting married. And then we went to my mom and dad's church where I grew up. And she started to grow like a weed. And just soaking in all the stuff that was taught from the pulpit and from God's word. And it really, really was not horrible for me. Other than the fact that she drugged me to church all the time. And then we went from place to place. The military moved us around. And we ended up in a little place in Alamogordo, New Mexico. A lot of people call it Alamogordo, New Mexico, because it's a middle of nowhere. And the only thing there is the base. And my wife found out about this tithing thing. And I was not a big fan of it, because I had more dependents at the time than I had stripes, and it was not in my best interest financially, I thought, to do this. But she pushed, man, and she was so beautiful, and it was just hard to refuse her, but I didn't have the heart for it. And see, she was talking to some people at church, and she was asking them, she was saying, well, you know, what's wrong with my husband? And would you pray for him? And one lady said to her one day, have you ever thought about the fact that maybe your husband's not saved? And she said, oh, no, that can't be. And so she started praying for her husband. See, her husband never went to church without her. And then if he went twice in one day, that was just a miracle. Well, one Sunday morning when she was pregnant with my rose amongst the thorns. That's my daughter. She woke up and she was not feeling well. She said, hey, I'm not going to go to church this morning. And so I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and go. And she passed out. And I picked her up off the floor, and she didn't really pass out. That was the humor. And she said, okay. And so I went to church that morning. I have no idea what the preacher was preaching about. Couldn't tell you. All I know is that God was getting a hold of me. And so I went home that afternoon. I had lunch and did whatever good Christians should do, and I took a nap. And then I got up and I asked my wife one question. I said, beautiful? That's what I call her. And you guys, yeah, that's what I call her. And I said, beautiful, I said, why do you want to tithe? By the way, this is not my sermon, but it's taken longer than I anticipated. And he didn't ask me to do this. This is all for free. I said, why do you want to tithe? And this is what she told me. She said, because I love God. That hurt. That hurt my heart. Because I knew for so long I'd been living a lie. And I was so proud. I didn't ever want to do anything about it. I told her, I said, well, I think I'm going to go back to church again. And she passed out again. And so I went back to church that night and I got everything right with God. I went forward and I told the preacher, I said, I think I need to be saved. Bawling like a baby. He said, well, I think we need to get that right. And he sent me to the side with a guy named Chris. And I knew Chris and Chris knew me. And Chris went to walk me through the Romans Road. And I said, listen, brother. I said, I already know what I got to do. I prayed and asked God to save me. And that was when I was 27 years old in 2001. And I haven't stopped trying to serve God since because of the prayers of my wife. Because time is short. Prayer is powerful. Now I'm a missionary. I've served God on 3 different continents in the military. 1, 2, 4, sorry. In the military. And now I'm in His army. And prayer is very powerful. And we need your prayer. But more importantly, we need to understand the power of prayer. So if you could please stand with me to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication. Sorry, I need my old man's spectacles. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Grace, Father, Lord, I thank you for the privilege it is to be here with these wonderful people and what they're doing here outside of Malmstrom. Lord, I pray that you give grace and mercy tonight. I pray that in these few moments we have together, Lord, that you'd be able to touch hearts in a way that only you can. Lord, I just thank you for the honor and the privilege to be here. And I pray that you'd set myself aside and let you speak through me completely. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. In the few minutes we have, I'd like to speak to you about just a few things out of these verses. First, verse 18, I want you to understand that we're warring. And if you look at the previous verses, starting in verse 10, the description begins, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And he goes into the armor of God. I love these passages because I'm a military guy, and any military people in here would love these passages. Okay? It's all about the armor of God. It's all about putting on the armor of God. It's all about preparing for war. Preparing for battle. Every day we prepare for battle. Every day we prepare to fight Satan and his onslaughts and his attacks. And every day we as missionaries get up and we prepare to fight onslaughts of Satan. Every day you as missionaries get up and you should prepare to fight the onslaughts of Satan and his attacks. Now how did we do that? It's outlined right here, the armor of God. But how do we break that down into daily, everyday living? How do we break that down so it's easy to understand? You guys are military people. A lot of you are. A lot of you are closely associated with military people. So I like to give this illustration. If I was downrange, which I have been, and I got up one day and I was going on my convoy and I decided, you know what? This morning, I'm really not feeling in the mood to prepare. So I think I'm just going to relax, take it easy a little bit. And instead of fully preparing, I think I'm just going to put on some running shorts and a tank top. I'm going to grab a hand grenade and a pistol, and I'm going to get in my truck, and I'm going to go. I'm going to run convoys. Now, as soon as I came under attack, how long do you think I would last? Not very long. Why? Because I'm not armored. I don't have any of the stuff that's designed to protect me when I go out to meet the enemy. I've left it all behind. As Christians, we, unfortunately, sometimes treat our armor the same way. We get up in the morning and we're so busy we forget to prepare for the day. We forget to take the armor of God and we forget to arm ourselves with it. We forget to grab that shield and that sword. We forget to grab the breastplate and the helmet. And we just start our day running along. And then comes the attacks of Satan. Man, he's throwing the darts. He's throwing the doubts, the fears. He's throwing everything our direction. And all we've got is a tank top, some running shorts, and a hand grenade and a pistol. We can't be that way. Prayer is the most powerful thing that we have. We should start our day in prayer. Satan doesn't fear a stammering, wavering prayer. The prayer that doesn't last. The prayer that's 30 seconds. The prayer that's over food that says, now I lay me down to sleep prayer. The Lord bless this food and thank you for it. Amen. Prayer. Satan fears the prayer of a Christian who understands he's the child of the living God, the creator of the universe, who goes before the throne of his Father with supplications and says, Father, here I am. I'm coming before you. I have this, I have that. I need you. I can't make it without you. That's what he fears. I was in Oregon. I'm sorry, I was in East Hill Baptist Church in Washington. There was a couple there. The last name was Jensen. That's a great couple. He's 92 years old. She's 93 years old. They still drive the AMC that they bought brand new. That's awesome. He walks into church like this. He walked into church the first time I met him. I did what I do and handed him my prayer card. And he looks up at me like this. And he says, looks me in the eye. And he says to me, I'm going to pray for you every day. The gates of hell shudder when that man prays. Because when he prays, he stands erect, fully armored, going before God. And there's nothing Satan can do about it. That is awesome. Prayer. when we use the Word of God in prayer, it clears the way to the throne of God. The Word of God is probably one of the most powerful things that we have. It's so powerful. Christ Himself used the Word of God to fight Satan. When He was attacked, when He was after He had fasted and prayed, He was tempted of Satan. And Satan came to Him three times. And three times He took Him to different places and He tempted Him in three different ways. And each time He was tempted, Christ said to Him, "It is written." You're talking about the Creator of the universe. You're talking about the man, God, who could have just... And Satan would have been non-existent. But He chose Scripture. Our power comes from Scripture and our power comes from prayer. When we find ourselves at the throne of God and we take our requests to God, we understand that it's the Spirit of God that leads us through those things. He directs. He does not dominate. Sometimes we have wandering thoughts. Sometimes we have thoughts about things we may have done or seen or heard in the past. Just like Christ, we can use the Word of God to fight these thoughts. Thank you, brother. Next, he says, watching. This watching is awesome. Because this watching here literally means lying sleepless. This watching is the watching that Christ used in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. When He talked about His second coming. The watching He used in Mark chapter 13, verse 33. Again, when He talked about His second coming. I think it's especially neat that it's the same watching that's used in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. When the Bible says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." The pastor that you have has an amazing job. He watches over you. He loves you that much. He understands that he has to give account to God. And we're supposed to watch over each other the same way, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, being a military guy, and being from Louisiana, I like to keep things simple. Prayer is powerful. Watching is an order that's given to us. But this last part, all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, I know you military guys may have heard this. KISS, it's an acronym, keep it simple, and I normally say silly if there's small children in the crowd. All means all, and that's all means. I'm a missionary in Okinawa. You guys are missionaries right here in Great Falls. You can go places that can't go. I can't go to a lot of the sites and places that you can go to. I can't talk to the people that you can talk to. Pastor can't even talk to the people that you can talk to. But you can. But what we can do together is pray for one another with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now there is that, and for me after that. But this is for us. We go to church to get encouraged in one another. Man, I want to help you. I want to lift you up in prayer. Now, while I lift you up in prayer, you lift me up in prayer. I don't understand how prayer works. Man, that's God's business. All I know is the Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie. And I'm so glad for that. And the Bible says that God is truth. And that's awesome. We have a God that does not lie. We have a God that is truth. The Bible says that the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So when you get up in the morning and you arm yourself and you're thinking, man, I'm so glad I'm not just putting on running shorts and a t-shirt today. What about that lady that was in the hospital? I need to pray for her because the Holy Spirit's directing your thoughts. He's guiding you, helping you to remember certain people to pray for. See, prayer is not a one-way conversation. It's a two-way thing. I'm sure pastor's already filled you in on all of that stuff. And so when you start thinking about those people that come into your mind that the Holy Spirit directs you to, and you pray for them, you're fulfilling this all. And all means all. And if you're sitting here today, and I don't know why God wanted me to give my testimony. I really don't. Because I was going to preach this whole sermon. But I tell you what, I turned 18 in boot camp. 9 years I wasted in the military as a lost man. I sure wish I had those 9 years back. Can't tell you how many guys I passed. I could have told about Christ. Deployments I've been on. People that I'll never see again. People that have died. If you're here tonight and you're fighting with yourself, listen, it's so much better when you just give in to God. My life has been amazing. I wouldn't turn it in for anything. I didn't say it's been a bed of roses. It's been amazing. Because my God has supplied all my needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. You have heard the gospel message through your pastor. Preaching to the Wednesday night crowd. It's nothing new. But I guarantee you, when we pray for each other and we love each other, churches, man, they progress leaps and bounds from where they are to where God wants them to be. Thank you for your time, Pastor.
Let's bow our heads. Thank you, brother. That's good. Sometimes people miss it. Sometimes people miss it. Boy, it'd be a terrible thing if you miss it. You can go to church, warm that chair, have everybody believe you're just a Christian, but you split hell wide open just like a drunkard would, or a drug addict, or a prostitute. You may have heard it, but if you don't accept it, You haven't made it personal. You'll pay the price. Well, that sure break my heart if I'd passed you all these years and you're without Christ. Wow. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'll be honest with you. I'm just not sure of it. We're not here to get you to doubt it, but if you know that you're not saved, you can take care of it. I'm going to ask Nancy to play. Let's all stand. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I have lived a lie for many years. Maybe you're a teenager, grew up in a Christian home. Maybe you're a child. Maybe you're a person with a lot of age. But that has not happened to you. Why don't you step out right now and say, I'm taking care of it tonight. You come right now. You'd be like Brother Jellison, preacher, you don't have to tell me how to do it. I know how to do it. Then do it. Then do it. Get saved. Ask God to forgive your sins. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Simple as that. God, I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I've lied for so long. Why don't you come? Maybe you're here tonight and you say, why should I tithe? I like his wife's answer, because I love God. I love God. I don't know. Something in your heart, something in your life. Maybe God's calling you even be a missionary tonight. I don't know. You just come. Things are holding you back. Now, Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this time of testimony. Many times, Paul the Apostle gave his testimony, and many people were saved because of it. And, Lord God, I pray tonight you'd speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord Jesus, that we would give ourselves completely to you. Thank you, Lord, for the message tonight. God bless this missionary and his family. Help them, Lord Jesus, to get the support they need so they can go quickly. And to these men and women that are our brothers and sisters in America, God help them in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask this.